I don't know about you, but I want to experience the fullness of Christ. Who wants to experience the fullness of Christ? The fullness of Christ. And why I want to be part of a church where we experience the fullness of Christ together. I don't want to be part of a church that has like a separate experience from everyday life, but I deeply desire that my interaction with the body of Christ, every one of you, every single one of you, and the wider body beyond these walls would edify me, would build me up to do and seek a significant deep work inside and outside of me. And I seek and I hope, as Jesus prayed, that the kingdom of God will come on earth as it is in heaven. Like, that's a wild statement. A wild statement that Jesus made in Matthew 6 in his prayer, the Lord's Prayer. He said, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." These are so wild, these verses, when you really think about it. God's perfect reign in heaven, his ultimate authority, the Father's love undiluted, no more pain, no more sickness. And that's Jesus' prayer. That as it is with you, Father, in heaven, may it be here today. Now, that's really hard to see, given the state of the world, not to mention the state of our fleshy hearts. But in his wisdom, he gave us new life in Christ. Amen? When he died and he rose again and he conquered sin and death. And, you know, Galatians 2:20 says, "It is no longer I that live, but Christ that lives in me." Amen? No longer I, but Christ that lives in me. And in the book of Ephesians so far, you know, we've heard about this. We've heard that we've been brought from death to life. We've got new life in Christ. That we were once aliens and strangers, and now we are sons and daughters of the King. And God has placed his presence in us by the Holy Spirit as followers of Christ. And he's saying, "I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be with you. I'm not leaving you alone. And this fullness of Christ is here because I am in you by the Spirit." And then together today we are the body of Christ, ministering to one another as we grow to full maturity. And that's kind of what it's about today. That's what I'm speaking about. Growing to full maturity, unity in Christ. So we've looked at the whole already. We've looked at the first half of Ephesians chapters 1 to 3. And it's been about, you know, all of this. It's been about God's eternal plan, chapters 1 to 3. To gather all things in heaven and on earth together under Christ. To repair broken relationships between us and God and to each other. And to build his church. And make clear and obvious the amazing wisdom of his gospel to the world. That's chapters 1 to 3. And our theme this year, you can see it up there on the wall, "More Than Able," comes from Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. And it says, God is more than able to do the unbelievable, immeasurable works that we could never ask or imagine, according to his power, the Holy Spirit, that is at work in us. So no matter how much we think that this relationship with God is like, just like a personal thing, just between me and him, and it is, you know that God comes close to you and his focus is right on you. But ultimately, Christ's fullness, we experience it, the whole measure of it only happens when the gathered church, that's you and me, have a unity in Christ. And a unity in faith. Unity in Christ and unity in faith. How much we need each other. Even though some of us are different in looks, But we all need, we need all of that. We need every one of us, no matter how different we look, no matter how differently we come to God, we need every one of us mixed together, shaken around, bringing our gifts to the table so that we attain to the full measure, the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. You know, it's really in my heart this morning. See, really in my heart that we would break this thinking that the church is just about what happens in these four walls. I mean, we know it in our minds. But what seems to happen is that when I talk about the church, we expect that I'm talking about what happens here on a Sunday and the serving that happens only within this little body here. It is important what happens here. But the church is a larger spiritual body that you and I are a part of. So when I say church, we break this mentality that is just the pastor asking me to get involved in serving on a Sunday. This is the body of Christ, and it is so much more, so much wider, so much bigger than we could ever understand. But we are part of it together. This morning I want you to turn to your neighbour and I want you to say, I need you. So turn to your neighbour and say, I need you. Yeah. And I want you to turn to your other neighbour and I want you to say, you need me. And then I want you to turn to somebody else and say, you complete me. Okay, don't say that. Don't say that. Christ completes us. Amen? Yeah. Wage. Christ completes us fully as the body grows to maturity. We need each other, centered around Christ. And as today we head into the last half of the book of Ephesians, we're looking at chapter 4, where Paul is really going on a journey in these last number of chapters, explaining to his readers how we must live as a church committed to gathering people under Christ. So our scripture today is from Ephesians chapter 4. Would you open or look at the screen? Ephesians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 3, and we're going to read that out now. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and he gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his body for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Let's just pray. Holy Spirit, would you come and rest on us? Would you speak your word? Lord, I pray we hear it with open hearts. Thank you for your word. Amen. So we're going to start looking this morning at unity in Christ and how to maintain this unity. To do this, I'm going to go backwards through a few verses, through the first few verses, starting at verses 4 and 5. around the oneness of God. Now, he talks about the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit is one. There is only one hope, there is only one church, there's only one faith, there's not two, there's one faith. And all of creation is unified around Christ. It's all one and unified, completely one. And so then if we step backwards to verse 3, Paul says, therefore, because Christ is one or is unified, you should make every effort to keep the same kind of unity. Because he's one, make every effort to keep the same kind of unity of the Spirit through the building peace with one another. Like, this is important. Building peace with one another so that we look like the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is one. Some of us like expect that unity in the church is like a box of cornflakes, okay? Box of cornflakes, where everyone looks the same. They think the same is the same, perhaps orange colour, where we're all focused on the same parts of Scripture and what's important in worship. You know, you like hymns, I like hymns. Oh, well, we can get along in the church. But God in his wisdom has made us more like a box of Fruit Loops. Absolutely. We're all a bit different. We're multicolored, multi-ethnic. We have different focuses, different things that bring us joy. And in his wisdom, he's brought us together to work together. Amen? In his wisdom. To minister to one another and beyond these four walls. And in the rough and tumble of our differences, it's just amazing that we mature and in time we move into the fullness of Christ. Yes, we are all different, but we're unified around Christ. Yes, we're all a little bit fruity and some of us are a little bit loopy, but I tell you what, we taste great together. It's serious. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Siri's jumping up there. Unity is not the alignment of all our ideas. It's the alignment of all of us around Christ. Now, Paul knows if we're different, we're going to rub each other up the wrong way from time to time, and this could threaten our unity. But I want to say this morning that God purposefully allowed diversity in his body, potentially causing friction, so we might mature. Last week, our new bookkeeper, Tracy, we were out there and having lunch, all of us at lunchtime, and she went on and on and on about how I can't eat raw broccoli in my lunch. You can't eat raw broccoli, she says. And, oh, it was a big deal. If you know Tracy, you'll get to learn that she has got a very big personality. And she was getting all passionate, and I had to find it in my heart to forgive her. And it's not been easy. Now I have to go and I have to eat my lunch in private. And crunching on my own broccoli and my beans makes me sound so healthy. But I know I will get through this for the good of the body. We all need to work together, amen? So that's why in verse 2 Paul says, we're working backwards again, knowing full well that the diversity of the body will bring both blessing and struggle, that we are going to need to be completely humble, completely gentle. We're going to need to be patient, and we're going to need to bear with one another in love. This sounds like the fruit of the Spirit to me. From Galatians 5, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no law against those things. They are good for us. Those things are good for us. And this is the Spirit doing his work in us to produce the kind of fruit that builds unity. And in fact, I need to open myself to it and I need to avail my heart to be changed in these moments. The Spirit does a work I could never do. And then moving back up to verse 1 enables me to live a life worthy of my calling. Live a life worthy of my calling. Not so much just a personal calling, more of a calling to be alive in Christ. We've been brought from death to life. We've been brought near, so live a life worthy of that. Live a life worthy of the calling that we receive. Live a life in a way to develop humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another towards love. Then we will fulfill our calling as the body of believers to be like the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit and be unified like they are. Now, on Friday, I was driving home from Mount Martha. I had something to do for my other work. And I was driving through some beautiful countryside. I was just asking God, you know, to give me a greater understanding, perhaps, of this scripture as I came to preach on this weekend. And like he does, he speaks in very many ways. So I turned the corner, and there was, on this corner, this huge field of sunflowers right there, all facing in the same direction. Now, I don't know a lot about sunflowers, but I do know that they track the sun over the sky. And what I found out is that they can move over 180 degrees during the day, and then at dusk, they return back to the east, ready to start a new day, looking at the sun. Now, I just felt the Lord just say to me in that moment as I saw that whole massive field of sunflowers all pointing the same direction. Just felt him saying to me, Paul, when you keep your focus intently on the sun, S-O-N, you will be what you're meant to be. Just keep your focus intently on me. And then you will be what you need to be, what you're meant to be. You will fulfill this calling. You will flower, you will blossom, you will grow into the person you're meant to be, growing in your gifts, growing in the fruit of the Spirit. And likewise as the church here today, as the church, when we center ourselves around the person of Jesus Christ, we will be the united body that we are meant to be. Amen? So if we're united around Christ, we're not just a group of individuals living our own lives on a parallel journey. But we are one body that God in his wisdom gave gifts to. He gave gifts to us so that we might be built up to full maturity and in the unity of faith. And I just love verse 7. Verse 7, but to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. The word grace here is like interchangeable with gifts, grace, gifts. It's the same word charis in the Greek, so it could read, but to each one of us, gifts have been given as Christ decided, as he decided. And we love to give gifts, don't we, to the ones that we love. And so Christ loves us, and so he's given us gifts. He's given us gifts that we might use to build up the church. These gifts are assigned by the Holy Spirit to each believer at the point of coming to faith. You do not lobby for it. You do not apply for it. It is given because he knows you. He knows right how you're made. He's right in line with your character and your abilities because he's made you and he's a good God and he knows you. He knows just what you need to be part of his bigger church. So then we jump to verse 11 for a short but very important list of some of the gifts. Verse 11, so Christ gave himself the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers. And then we see why he gave these gifts in verse 12. Number one, he gave his gifts to equip his people for works of service, to serve one another, Number two, so that the body of Christ may be built up, strengthened, made solid, until we all reach unity in the faith. Number three, so that we all may become mature, achieving the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. All his fullness, complete, 100% in Christ Jesus. Now, these gifts are not superpowers where you have all the strength and hold together the balance of the earth. They are not simply for personal use, but you are graced with it. You're graced with it. You are given a gift to build up the body, and it's a sign that you are the one that he loves. And just like marriage, when we receive the gift of a ring from our spouse, ooh, that's a from our spicy spouse. That's just so wrong. When we receive the gift of the ring from our spouse to signify the covenant that we've just made, which says you are bonded together, so these gifts are like a sign for you that you have new life in Christ. And he is the groom, and we as the church, we're the bride. We've received everything we need to walk in unity, maturity, and to glorify him. Today, church, every believer in this place and online, and every believer for all time, has been given a spiritual gift. Everyone. So the question is, do we know what it is for ourselves, and are we using it? Well, praise the Lord, we are going to enter into a series on spiritual gifts in a few weeks' time after Pentecost. And we're going to unpack all of this in detail, looking at the scriptures from Romans and 1 Corinthians as well as Ephesians. But for now, I just want to focus on this fact that it unifies us. The gifts used and applied in the body is what unifies us and makes us the kind of church that shows its manifest glory to the world. Paul is encouraging us that we need to use our gifts hand in hand, arm in arm with one another for the glory of God. Have you ever thought about the fact that if you're using your gift or not using your gift in this body, it contributes to either the unity or disunity of the body? We need to be using our gifts. We need to be discovering. We need to be stepping into them. We are all responsible. We're all part of this to see a unified, mature body of Christ glorifying him daily. You know, God can't just steer a stationary object. You need to be moving in the use of your gifts, testing, trying, seeking what works and what doesn't until you grow and you understand what he has graced you with and how it benefits the church. Now, I just want to give an overview of these gifts. And I want to see how it pertains to the building of unity and maturity. So I want to have a look at these gifts. Hopefully you can read them up on the screen there. And I want you to be thinking, where do you see yourself? Where do you see yourself in this list of gifts? So we have here at the top, we have the apostles, which literally means the sent ones. So they often have a clear and heavy sense of being called that they just can't shake. They might be sometimes in their workplaces, entrepreneurs and pioneers. They see new things and they rally people together around those things. They might be the leader who's ready to take risks without all the facts sometimes because they see an opportunity and they are responding to a prompting. Is that you? Or the prophets, those moving in the prophetic, they see, hear and feel things and they often have a tuned responsiveness to God. They're often creative people. They might be songwriters, the musicians. They might be a poet or might be an artist. And all of their creativity helps them to express to the body A calling back to the things of God. They are often called to pray. They might be gifted in healing. They might be moving in things of the Spirit. Sometimes they might seem like they're that maybe seemingly different person off the side. Not that they're different. They're just trying to be alone to listen to the move of God and what he's trying to say. Then we have the evangelists, and they're the recruiters to the cause and to the movement. Some say they are the sneezers of the gospel, because if they sneeze, everyone in their near vicinity catches a cold. But it's a work of God. When they speak, people respond. When they ask the question, would you like to come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? People respond, because their spiritual gift is in evangelism. In their workplaces, they might often be salespeople because they seem to be able to sell ice to Eskimos. Not that they're trying to twist anyone's arm. There just seems to be a grace on their life to be able to speak and people respond. And then we have the shepherds. They make and they protect community. They draw people together and they seek to foster relationships around Jesus. They are the carers, the ones who feel for you and do something about to involve you in their friendship and in groups together. They're often people like nurses, and even a strange thing is that they're often business development managers in corporations, because they are the kind of people that build relationship in an amazing way and draw people together. They're almost always the nice guy with a good purpose behind what they do. And then lastly, we have the teachers. And they're the ones who connect the dots that others can't see. They communicate knowledge and wisdom, and they put into context things that need to be understood by the student. And obviously, they might be teachers in schools, or they might be gifted, where they're gifted to propel growth in the learner. And it's such a gift. So where do you see yourself? I know that over recent years, I am discovering more and more that I move much more in the prophetic and the shepherding side, much more than I realized. And perhaps in starting a business, I was moving more in an apostolic gifting, and as I founded the business based on a need that others couldn't see. And then we started to grow something, and God has done his work there. It's interesting, isn't it? Where do you find yourself? Where do you put yourself today? And as I said, we're going to put more work into this over the coming months in our spiritual gift series. But really where I wanted to leave it today was with the emphasis on how each one of us has a gift. And that gift is to be used to build up the body towards unity and maturity in the faith. You are here for a purpose. Each one of you is here and in the body of Christ for a purpose. And as you discover and exercise your gifts in the body, you will grow as the body grows. Not just in the gifts, but in the fruit of the Spirit, which brings unity in the body. And it all makes sense now. It makes sense why in this passage Paul talks about the gifts, and then he talks about the fact that we're going to need to have humility and patience and forbearance. Because putting the two together, a body of very, very different people, all of that together at the same time is going to bring us to maturity. You know, there's nothing better than you personally perhaps needing healing while you're praying for somebody who needs healing. Because the Spirit uses that to develop humility in you. There is nothing better than teaching when you recognize you have so much more to learn. Because the Spirit uses that to develop patience in you. There is nothing better than being entrepreneurial, apostolic, or pioneering and seeing the amazing opportunities before you. But you have to submit and bear with those shepherds and pastors over there that won't stop worrying about the health of the sheep and they just don't want to move yet. You see, there's a push-pull. There's a submission to one another in the gifts. But if you have those gifts, you realize that this pause makes you submit to one another. Bear with them, and it probably makes for a better idea forming rather than the first one that came to you. And this is the Spirit doing his work in you. And there is nothing better than sharing the gospel as an evangelist with amazing response. And then the teachers in the body challenge you on your accuracy of truth. They keep you accountable. Or the shepherds ask, oh, what about the follow-up of those new believers? Because it's in those times we realize that everyone is required to build the church, not just one. Every one of us is required to build the church, a mature church. We need each other. How much we need each other. So can I encourage you, church, today? But we want to see a unified church here. Exercising your gifts, growing with one another, so we are the best representatives of Jesus to a hurting and to a dying world. For too long, like most churches, we perhaps have been focused purely on teaching and shepherding. But we need to seek that all our gifts flourish in submission to one another and see the church of God grow and grow and grow as each one of us does our part. We should not shy away from walking into God's gifting that he has bestowed upon us because it unifies the body and it matures us. Amen. Do not hold back, church. Do not hold back, men and women of God. Step up and walk forward. And in the words of a modern day prophet or songwriter, he's used to build up the church as his gift. Brandon Lake, in a song that we all know, he writes, come on my soul, don't you get shy of me, lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. You know, we could just apply that to singing a song. But I know in my heart that when I sing that bridge in that song, something rises in my spirit because I just say, no, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Get up and express through every part of my being who God is and how he's blessed me and how he has changed me and how he's brought me from death to life and how beautiful it is to walk with him. Church today, don't be shy. Don't be shy. Stand up because you've got a lion inside of your heart. Get up and praise the Lord through your gift, through the way God has made you. Get up and praise the Lord to bring about unity in the body of Christ as we all become mature together or minister one to another. Somehow achieving the whole measure of the fullness of God. Amen. You want to be part of a church like that? Yes? Yeah. This morning, as we were in prayer, it was a really powerful time of the prayer people. Maybe coming with gifts in the prophetic, praying over our local community ministries. Perhaps they're the evangelists. One set of gifts, praying over another set of gifts, raising up together. That's the kind of picture we need to have here as a church. where the teaching of the word edifies the evangelist, where the evangelist speaks the word of God, brings them to this place to hear the word of God and grow under the counsel of the teachers. And then the shepherds come around and say, I love you. And they draw you into community. And we see the body of Christ grow and strengthen as we walk together. And then you've got those with the apostolic gifts somewhere off the side, or maybe out the front. But there's always something going on. The Lord opening up to them visions of what might be. We need each other, church. We need each other. Don't get shy. Raise up a song to the Lord with your gifts, with everything that you have, glorifying Him, lifting Him up. And together we will be the unified church around Christ, unified in faith, lifting up the name of the Lord and being that kind of church that represents so loudly, so broadly, with wisdom to the world. So this morning we're going to have the prayer team up here, and if you want to come and just respond in any way that you're prompted to, please do that. If you just want to take a step forward in faith and say, I really want to understand my gift, I want to step into it, I want to understand what it is, I want to just have the courage to step out in faith, please come forward. We would love to pray with you, because it's the whole body of Christ doing this together so that we see the church build up. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Saviour this morning, and you don't know what this is all about, but you sense the prompting in your heart, this morning I would encourage you to talk to your friend or come to the front, and we would love to open up the scriptures with you and lead you to closer to the Lord. Because He died on the cross and He rose again so that you, your sin and the things that separated you from God would bring you back together with Him.